Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Gator, I feel like this Tiger series with Cleveland is the last heavy lifting they need to do to pretty much wrap this thing up. Meaning, if they do what they're capable of, take two of the three, then they kind of got this. Like you don't count on anything till it's done. But there's hurdles throughout the season, and this is one that if they just clear this last hurdle and win this series, then they'll be division champs.
It's got that feel to it, right?
Yeah.
And it's a big hurdle because Cleveland's playing out of their minds. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they are hotter than a pistol. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do what the Tigers did last year. They are desperately trying to get into this thing, and the Tigers would love to just finish this up, love to clinch the first or second seed, and start thinking about the postseason and how they can set up their pitching. But all that is great to think about, but you can't think about that until you knock off Cleveland. And it's going to be tough. I'm looking forward to this series. I think it's going to be kind of spirited down at Comerica Park. I think they're going to be happy they're back at Comerica Park to do this. The weather is going to be spectacular, so hopefully there's some big crowds. I think Cleveland generally gets decent crowds anyway, so I can't wait. We got Casey Mize tonight against Canio. Is that it?
Joey Cantillo.
Cantillo, and who's pitched pretty well this year as well. He's a left-handed pitcher, so maybe a right-handed heavy lineup. We'll see how AJ tries to counteract this. But, yeah, I think this is, to your point, if they can take two out of three, you feel like you've really accomplished something because each win for the Tigers over Cleveland is worth two.
Yeah,
to knock that magic number down.
This is like that last take care of business here, and all the business will have then henceforth been taken care of.
Henceforth,
good weather. I know that here at the station, there's allotment of tickets that are held for clients, and there are times. And I was told today that there's clients ringing the phones off the hooks that want tickets for this series and the rest of the season. Like this is dialed in, zeroed in. It all comes down to this. And for Cleveland, this is their last stand, right? I mean, they got to win this series. They probably need to sweep the series, but they certainly have a minimum goal of winning the series.
Yeah. I mean, they got another three games against the Tigers after this at some point, I think next week, but what difference does it make if you don't show up this week?
Yep. All right, so last night, Jimmy Fallon, The Tonight Show, was aired, taped in Detroit on Sunday night. I want to know if anybody out there in our audience was there. Did anybody go to the taping of the show? Aiden Hutchinson came over, Keegan-Michael Key was there, and some of the highlights have been going around, like the pronunciations of Detroit streets, Gratiot and DeQuinder and things of that nature. Yeah, funny.
Losser.
Yeah, funny, but was anybody there? And beyond that, has anybody ever been to the taping of a TV show, sitcom, talk show, anything like that? Because I realize I never have. I have seen some stuff live, like College Game Day, ESPN College Game Day. I've seen that. But, that's not the taping of a show. So Gator, have you ever been to the taping of a show?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Just once. And it was The Late Late Show with Craig Kilborn.
Now, Craig Kilborn became a cult favorite on SportsCenter. And then he got his own show, Then he made a couple acting appearances. I don't know what happened there.
He was great.
He was kind of faded.
I was a big Craig Kilborn fan. Yeah,
it was hysterical.
The first time I was out in L.A., one of the first few times I was out in Los Angeles to see my best buddy out there, he had gotten us, my other friend who lives out there, he had gotten us tickets to go to that show, and it was pretty cool. Kevin Pollak, the actor, was one of the guests and was doing some impressions, which are great. He was in The Usual Suspects, so I was curious to see what he's going to talk about. With that, Ian Anderson, the flautist and vocalist of Jethro Tull, was there. And there was a political commentator, a female, she was from like Germany. I can't remember what her name was. She was on there too, and she was good. It was a lot of fun, but it's a lot of standing around, a lot of waiting around before the show gets going. Like you're brought in. First of all, you have to wait there for like an hour before you even get into the studio. Then they bring you into the studio, and it's like another hour. This is how it was 30 years ago.
Right.
And then, and then eventually they start the show, and they have the clock, and it's like a real time clock counting down, so they know how long they have in segments and stuff like that. It's interesting to see how it works, and it was kind of cool. You know, you have somebody come out and warm up the crowd with doing some stand up beforehand, or just, hey, welcome everybody. You know, here's what's going to happen on the show, and let you know. But I would highly recommend going to any kind of taping at least once in your life. It's pretty cool.
As a kid, I always dreamed of going to The Price is Right and being in the audience. But then, you know, there's like 200 people in the audience, and how many get called up on stage? Because that's what you're thinking. You're thinking, I'm going to The Price is Right. I'm going to get called on. Doug Karsh, come on down. Hey, all right. But that's, you know, that's like 10 people, 15 people,
you,
whatever
did
it is.
You want to be called or did not want to be
called? I wanted to be called, okay. Yeah. So what was it? It's four, and then there's 60. It's 10 people, I think, get called up out of the 200.
Ryan Field. RF made it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always wanted to be one of those shows back in the day, like the Maury Povich or the Jenny Jones you know, Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer, yeah.
It just looks like chaos. Like it's
only because it was chaos. Yeah.
It was crazy. You are not the father.
Geraldo. And, yeah. Yeah, if you could pick which, like, what do we
in
got
some,
today?
At some point, I've pinpointed that era of television when those shows debuted as the beginning of the end. It's kind of the beginning of the end, I think. Yeah. 248-539-9797.
Mid to late 80s. There we go.
If anybody was at the taping of The Tonight Show, love to hear about it. And if you've ever been to the taping, it's what's funny about these things is something that's always different than you expect it to be or that people don't realize. Like one of them is that it can take forever. It can take a long time.
Yeah. He was at the Lions game sitting next to Keegan-Michael Key. In a suite, it looked like he was having a hell of a time. Kept his sunglasses on. I'm guessing he may have been a little inebriated, but yeah. Well, who knows? Yeah, maybe.
Well, they went and taped it right after, though. So just he left
saying,
early then, right?
He had sunglasses.
Gator
on the
saying
time.
He was smashed during the taping is what I'm saying.
I'm saying he had sunglasses.
Uh huh. Yeah. Picking up what you're throwing down.
I like Jerry Fell.
Let's go to Dan and Warren. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Dan.
Hi, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
I want to talk about the Tigers.
Sure.
Do you guys really think they have the pitching to stand up in the playoffs? I don't think they do.
Well, they don't have to. All they have to do is have more pitching than the team that's across from them, right?
Yeah, but are they able to do it? I don't think they can.
Well, who's
their pitching collapses against teams like Miami? And
how their pitching do? They're 4-2 against the Yankees. They are 4-2 against Houston. They're 3-0 against Boston. These are teams that they're going to face in the playoffs. They are 3-4 against Toronto. So they have a losing record there against Toronto. I mean, look, those are the best. Those are the next contenders, I believe, in order in the American League. You just have to have more pitching or enough to beat the team in front of you, right? And they've beaten those teams this year.
Yeah, and there's nothing they can do about it now, Dan. I mean, the team is what the team is.
I know it's just bad luck that the pitching got decimated, but I don't think they can recover in time to win the Toronto. I mean, I know they beat New York, but when it comes right down to it, when it matters both, I don't think they're going to come through. It's just my opinion.
All right.
Is there anything that you're like? What is the backbone of that opinion? Just a bad feeling, because they don't have to be perfect, right? That's the thing at this team. They haven't been perfect all season long. and they still continue to win.
I mean, they pounded the Yankees in the first two games of the series. It was just a week ago. And they gave up three runs in those first two games. That was pretty good pitching.
Mize has been pitching better.
Yeah. Fortunately, they dodged a bullet, it seems like, with the Skubal situation.
If Skubal was out for a long term, Dan, I'd agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the tenor of that was, I don't think they have enough. That's my opinion. Okay.
Well, that's going to be a miserable watch for you, then.
I just think you got to remember, they only have to be better than those that are in front of them. They don't have to be perfect. And I've talked about the Tigers' triangulation of winning. Field it great, pitch it great, or hit it great. Do two of those three. And if you look at most nights, they've done a great job at winning two of those three battles. And the hitting includes the base running and the you know, extra 90 and the hitting behind the runner and stuff like that.
I'll feel a lot better if Finnegan is back and ready to go.
Yeah.
That'll make me feel a lot better. And if Skubal is, pitches on Thursday and goes seven scoreless innings again like he's done.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
A half dozen times already this year.
You know, to the previous caller, who just doesn't think the pitching's going to be good enough, I mean, the pitching could sink them. Nobody's going to take a better starter as long as he's healthy into the postseason than the Tigers. The Tigers' bullpen, if it's healthy, actually got to be pretty formidable. So basically, he's saying he doesn't believe in the number two and whoever, however they handle the number three starter. Casey Mize has been pitching better of late. Casey Mize has actually, by most measurements, had a very good year. He went through a rough stretch. Flaherty's been a problem, coming off a pretty good start. For whatever it's worth, it's only one start, although if you look at two of his last three, has been one earned runs, good start. This is really weird. But we've talked about it. Against the good teams, against Houston, seven innings of shutout baseball. His next start against Kansas City, 5 innings, 8 earned runs. Next start against Kansas City, 5 2/3, 1 earned run. Next start against the lowly White Sox, 4 1/3, 4 earned runs. Then he plays the Yankees, 5 innings, no earned runs. And somebody put the stat up. I can't remember what it was, but it was against the good teams. Flaherty's actually been pretty good.
Very good against good teams.
So for whatever reason, the actual measurement of postseason success, I think the Tigers stack up very well. Because they're beating the teams that they're likely to play, and Flaherty has been good. And if that's really the question mark here, I think you can make a real strong case and some evidence that indeed the Detroit Tigers could be good in this, a really good bet to get out of the American League. With that said, if the wrong team shows up and we've seen the wrong version of them, it's a problem. And we just hope we don't see that version of the Tigers.
Yes, and I do. This is why I agree with you 100%. It is vitally important, I think, for this team to get in as a one or two seed, to set up the pitching, to get, and the rest actually, I think, would benefit this team. Absolutely would benefit this team in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But there are other things I want to see in the here and now. Like with tonight's game, you're going against a left-handed pitcher, and you expect to see a heavily right-handed hitting lineup for the Tigers, and they hit lefties awfully well. But I want more opportunities. Like Riley Green plays against everybody. It doesn't matter. He's going to play every game, and he's left-handed. But I want to make sure that Parker Meadows gets his at-bats against lefties, or that Colt Keith gets his bats against lefties, that you don't always have to platoon, because when you get to the playoffs, your best players have to be on the field. And I'd like these guys to get as many reps in against the lefties as they can, particularly when you look at Parker Meadows, who hasn't had many at-bats this year to begin with, period. You know, I feel like getting everybody up to speed as much as you can is important. I'm not going to tell A.J. Hinch how to manage a team. He knows exactly what he's doing. I trust in A.J. Hinch. Me as a fan, though, I would like to see it. I'd like to see those guys get those chances.
All right, let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Rick. You're next on 97 on the Ticket. Hi, Rick.
Good day.
Good day, Rick. Sure.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Just first, love you guys. Never leave and change. You guys are just an awesome station. So,
thank you.
Have you been to a taping of a show? Well, when my kids were young, we took them to amusement parks. We went to Universal Studios, and our family mode of operation was, when you go into an amusement park, everyone goes to the right. We go to the left all the way to the back and work forward. We then got in line for a family double dare taping. They were taking interviews. So we were going to be in the audience. Then we were interviewed again, and we got picked to be on the show, which was an experience. And we got a tape and all that kind of stuff. And I can't tell you what it's still a thrill to me to think about it. Even though we came in second place in the thing, we won every physical challenge. We had a great time.
Wow.
But just being at the taping and looking at the energy behind the scenes, and it also was like 100-and-some degrees. We were in air conditioning and then got to take a shower, and we got fresh tennis shoes and a t-shirt that said Family Double Dare. So we came out, and it was cool still.
They gave you shoes and a shirt?
Yeah, they gave us tennis shoes and a shirt. Of course, they were obviously given by Nike or whatever and then written off. But
That's pretty cool. I'm sure it aired at some point then?
Oh, yeah. It aired. As a matter of fact, my son found it on the internet still.
Oh, that's great.
Fun to watch. We were like, they had a football, you throw it backwards and someone has to catch it, and then they get a pie in the face and all that. Then they get green slimed. It comes down to the question and answer for who's going to win. And even though we won every physical challenge, we were playing against two nurses. And they asked the question, what's the name of the main nerve behind the eye?
Oh, my God.
Really? Well, we lost. We guessed. But that didn't work.
That's funny.
Someone would pop up a sign from the audience, you know.
Is
it the optic nerve?
Yeah.
Rick, thank you for the phone call. We got a Richard. You're next on 97 on the Ticket. Hi, Richard.
Could I help you?
Hi, guys. 6 or 7 years ago, my wife and I were in New York City just for a weekend getaway, and we were out shopping and coming back to our hotel, and we were passing the Ed Sullivan Theater, and we got approached and asked if we'd like to see the taping of the David Letterman show that night.
Oh, wow.
And we said, sure. It was like 5:30. I think we went in for the taping. It got pretty good seats. And like you said, you wait about 45 minutes, and then they have a guy come out to get the audience, you know, get them going, you know, get them excited. And the main guest that night was Robin Williams.
Oh, God.
And it was incredible.
I bet that was a wild ride.
Robin Williams. Well, when you ever see Robin Williams on one of these shows, what he's on, you know, he's out of his seat. He's doing
all kinds of wild things. He can't control it.
And he had David Letterman really cracked up. But the thing I really noticed that was interesting, then when they went to a commercial, Robin Williams would sit down back in his chair. You could see he was pulling himself together, getting ready for his next bit. You know, you could see that. You could see the band discussing what they're going to play next. Letterman would leave the stage for a minute to do whatever he had to do. He came back and they get going again, and Robin Williams was out of his chair again. It was remarkable.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, we're asking this because tonight's show was filmed in Detroit and aired last night. And have you ever been to a live taping? There's always things that you notice that you never would have noticed, and like they're different than you expected, or that make these experiences unique. We go to Rich, who's next. Hi, Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, so like Gator, I went out to visit a friend in L.A., and we ended up going to The Price is Right, and, you know, really cool experience. Just like the previous callers, there's a process. You wait in line for about an hour or two, and then you get into the studio, and there's a couple things I didn't notice or think of, but when you get into the studio on TV seems a lot bigger than what it actually is.
Yeah.
When you're there in person, it's really small. And then I always thought Price is Right is randomly selecting contestants, which that's not the case. So if anyone ever goes to a taping of The Price is Right, what they do is they will interview every single candidate that goes in, or every single person that goes in there. It's like a quick little interview, but at that time, there's somebody sitting there with the clipboard, and they're taking notes, and at that time is when they pick their contestants.
Interesting.
So it's not random. They're actually interviewing everybody that goes in there, and then that's when they select the people that they want to call up. But overall, it's a really cool experience. So yeah, those are two things I didn't realize. But if you ever go to The Price is Right, definitely make sure you are, you know, got a lot of energy.
Because that's energy and personality, that's who they want to throw on TV. Thank you. Pete is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. It sounds like the last caller just said the same thing I did. We went when I was at Western. My roommate got on the show they said, "Who are you? Where are you from?" And he just started jumping up and down and screaming in Kalamazoo. And he definitely got on. He spun a dollar. He was really close to winning both showcases, but he won his.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, Karsh, if you ever want to get on, military, college groups, old people's birthdays, and the most excited people in the room.
Do all of those, Doug.
Yeah.
Pete,
really quick. I missed Fallon last night, but was Common the musical guest?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
I missed the show last night as well.
Sorry, I apologize. But the morning show was playing snippets, and I heard they had the crowd yell out how to say all the Detroit street names. 3, 2, 1. Grashit. And Jimmy's like, "Can we say Grashit on the air?" It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Chris in Allen Park says, "I went and saw the Jerry Springer show in Chicago. The episode was about a love triangle between three little people, and surprise, there was a fourth regular-sized man involved. The fights were comical." Paul Nakar says, "My wife and I saw them tape Wheel of Fortune at the Venetian in Las Vegas. It was a lot of fun, but I had a few pops and had to be careful not to heckle too loudly." Stephen Madison Height says, "I can just see... Maury saying, was it, is that Povich? Saying
yeah,
the results,
Maury Povich.
Yeah, so saying the results of the lie detector test are in, and your daughter does love your wife more than you. Sorry, Kang."
Oh.
I don't need a test for that. I know that. Yeah. It's to save everyone the trouble.
Yeah. For people who don't know, Kang's sister, his daughter, I love you. And she says back, I love mommy.
And then Scott texts her, called in or text in, says she loves mommy and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon
now.
Toast Crunch, yeah.
More than me.
Yeah.
And I'm third now.
Then the coldest thing ever was she was sitting on the couch with her sister and your wife. You were sitting on the love seat and she just looked at you and said, Daddy, you're sitting alone.
Wow. And then laughed.
Oh, yeah. Like sinister. Like
savage.
Cackled at me.
I mean, savage.
Maybe what she wanted, Kang, was an invitation. Do you want to sit next to me?
I'm not going to invite her to insult me again.
Oh.
I mean, she would have just shot me down. You know what I mean? Just.
Would you like me to come over there? Yeah. Yes, I would. No.
I bet you would. Yeah, right.
All right, a couple more on this, and then something I'm done with. I'm not the only one. We go to Joe in a truck. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you guys doing today? Hopefully fine. We used to have a tradition in the 90s, me and a bunch of people, a bunch of friends of mine, we'd get together, go to the Lions on Sunday, and go to the Jerry Springer show on Monday. They used to tape on Monday. And the way they would do it at the Jerry Springer
show.
Was this
in Chicago?
In Chicago, okay. The NBC building. Yep, before okay. They moved to Connecticut, I believe.
All right.
And what they would do is they'd put you in this room, the green room, they call it, and they'd show you about a half hour of Uncensored, Jerry Springer Uncensored, to get you pumped up. And then you go in there and you meet Steve, and it was crazy. It was a real good time. Been there about three or four times. It was great.
Was there any, and did you guys see anything absolutely insane?
Yeah, something I can't mention here.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, thank you. All right, Joe. Let's go one more. Joe and Flint. Hi, Joe.
Hi, I'm just calling to say I was on Good Morning America in the audience years ago. Robin Roberts, Michael Strahan, Amy, and George Stephanopoulos. Just a few quick points of maybe interest. We had to get there really early, in case, even though we had tickets. I think we had to get there at 5:45 or 5:30 in the morning and wait in line to go in, seated by 6:30 for the show. And one nice thing is during breaks, they all came around and talked to the audience individually for pictures, for autographs, for conversation, except for George Stephanopoulos. He didn't do that. Another sort of crazy thing is they said, men or women alike, don't care what you're wearing, keep your knees close together. You're going to be on camera, and we don't want to show you with your legs down.
Okay.
I said, sure, okay. Thought they were kidding. Also, similar to somebody else said, to start and in between, they have a comedian that comes out and revs everybody up, gets them all laughing, and sometimes says smile or laugh or whatever during the show where you can't hear him. He just sort of indicates. So those, I'll tell you, it was a great experience. I remember talking to Robin Roberts just 2 feet away from me.
And that's cool. Joe, thank you for sharing. And that's very interesting about keeping your knees together.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Sure does.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to some football stuff. Okay, I'm going to talk about something I really like and something I'm done with. The new kickoff rule. The kick return rate is up 78% through 2 weeks. I like bringing the kickoff back. It still looks a little weird the way they line up, but more kicks are getting returned. There's strategy involved. I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay.
Do you care or no?
I like that there's more returns. Yeah, I do. I think it's extraordinarily punitive if you don't. It happened a couple times in the game on Sunday. Get the ball at the 40. I mean, that's in today's football, you're a first down away from being in field goal range.
Feels like it.
Or maybe not even. I mean, Dallas kicked a 64-yard field goal the other day. So I like that. And actually, when you bring this up, I said to Stoney, watching the game in the press box, and Stoney's next to me, and I said, do you think it's odd that Khalif Raymond doesn't return kicks?
Everybody's using a linebacker these days, Scott.
Well, you got a linebacker, and you got a backup running back who's a bit of a battering ram as well, and Sailors, who's out there with Grant Stewart. But I just wondered that out loud. I'm like, do we need to see maybe Khalif Raymond back there? Somebody who's a return specialist, but because they use him in the offense, I guess they want to protect him. Maybe that's the reason.
I want our linebacker to be so good at this because it's so unique to see. And I just, I can't envision.
Get the ball out the furthest.
Here's what I can't envision. I can't envision that guy taking it to the house. I can't.
Like, I'm just trying to win games.
Well, I mean, he must have in practice, right?
I guess, but I mean, do you know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Like, you've got Khalif Raymond, who's dynamite as a return guy, and he's not returning kicks.
Like, I must have missed this. Like, how did this happen that Grant Stewart became their kick return guy? According, I'm just looking at a quick stat. He never did this anywhere else.
I want to say in high school, he was a running back. Slash
in
linebacker.
High school, every player in the NFL did everything.
Right. I mean, I played quarterback in high school for crying out loud. So. Yeah.
Mac caliber arm, people.
Kang, would you like to see Khalif Raymond?
I would like to see anybody that used to return kicks, yes. Like, I want to see the old kickoff return, to be honest with you, but since we're in this day and age, we can't get that back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Khalif Raymond. It was, I forgot who they had back there a couple years ago where it was just, was it Dorsey or somebody? They just did nothing for me. And yeah, you know, make kick returns great again. Yeah, I'm down with Khalif Raymond because I feel like he is very explosive with the ball in his hands, and they always try like a gimmicky way to get it in his hands. But this way, yeah, you have to kick it to him, right?
Yeah, and now that the teams are actually kicking it, how about putting somebody back there? That here I am telling the coach how to do his job again. That's
really I do acknowledge that punt returning is different than kick returning, but this is why not try it? I don't think it would hurt. He's got good hands.
The Lions are in the bottom third in the league in terms of kick return average yards per return, but hey.
It's two games.
The other thing is, this is from Sunday's Chiefs-Eagles game. If they were trying to figure out where to spot a ball and whether or not it was fumbled, and Dean Blandino, who's always there to explain to us why the rules are what they are, he said the following. All right, that's enough. We got what we need to get out of that, which is Dean Blandino is done with the tush push. I loathe the tush push. I hate it more today than I hated it yesterday, and I hated it yesterday more than I hated it the day before. I can't stand this play. There are memes going around now showing that virtually every time there's a tush push, there's multiple players on both sides that are lined up in the neutral zone. Philly is using a legal formation. Defensive players are clearly violating. It's turned into a bastardization of the sport that I love. This is so ridiculous. And then I go back to the tear field pleas that came from Jason Kelce and Eagles ownership, who compared it to, remember this? He compared it to winning the Super Bowl, to having a wet dream and getting to use this play that they designed. He did that. He said that. In the behind closed doors in the meetings, and everybody in the NFL is like, oh, okay. If you really like it, I just, this play, it's illegal all over the place. They don't know how to officiate it.
Well,
and it's boring.
I don't mind it. I think you always got to find ways to stop somebody from doing something. But here's what I do mind. If it is, if the formation is illegal, throw a flag. Officiate it properly if that's the case. The other thing that I've always had a problem with in games when it gets to a goal line situation or a short yardage situation is the forward progress. Like, how many times do you give a running back an opportunity, hits the hole, and he stopped? He backs up, tries again, he stopped again. Like, how many times are you going to let him keep going and, you know, the play ends up lasting 12 seconds when it should have been done after three? Like, call forward progress, let's blow the whistle, and let's move on to the next play. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But again, it's about how you officiate the play. And if it's officiated properly, and if those are illegal formations, then that fourth and one becomes fourth and six, and guess what's not going to happen? You're not going to do a tush push on fourth and six.
Kang, what do you make of the tush push?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I don't like it. I don't hate it as much as you do.
I know.
I didn't get that.
Now Doug loves Dean Blandino.
Yeah, right.
I
seriously.
Way to go, Dean. Dino.
But yeah, it's complete chaos down there. And all the things you just mentioned, Doug, guys are lined up in the neutral zone, offsides, you know, false starts, the whole thing. I mean, do you really even know where the ball is when they're spotting it, all that stuff? But in the end, it's going to come down to whether this is entertaining or not, because this is entertainment. And they don't give me the, oh, well, it's, you know, you got to stop it. Yes, right now you do, but people want the rule changed. They will change the rule if people find it not entertaining. They do it in all other sports with, you know, hack-a-shack or the shift in baseball. So they can and will change rules depending on whether people like it or not. Doug, if more people feel like you, they will change the rule.
I think there should be an emergency convening of the rules committee by lunch.
But they do things like they send out memos in midweek all the time, right? And hey, or we're going to put an emphasis on this or whatever. There's nothing wrong with letting teams know ahead of time. Look, we are going to look at this a lot closer. You better have the right formation. And oh, by the way, don't line up off sides because we're calling that too.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines 248-539-9797. Let's go to Bobby in Westland. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for allowing me to get on.
Sure.
Hey, Doug. I love you guys. Gator, Kane, all of y'all. Y'all pretty good at what you do.
Thanks, Bobby.
How is it that, if you just hear me out, how is it that rugby has infiltrated the NFL?
I don't know.
Please explain that, Gator. Gator, because I love your laugh, Gator. Listen to me, Gator. Then they say this guy is leading. He's leading the league in rushing touchdowns when he's being pushed in with the touchdown. Please explain that garbage.
Right.
That's the reason why I hate them. Oh, they got a great big offensive line. Well, why don't you line up traditionally and pop people off the line and then tell me how great you are?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Bobby, I don't mind if the NFL came up with a rule that said, like, if they're going to ban the tush push, then you know what else they should ban? They should ban any player from being pushed from behind at any point that he's on the field. It's like if a running back gets through the line of scrimmage, he busts through the next level, now he's going and he's hit like 10 yards down, but he's not gone down yet. And then you see the offensive lineman chasing after him and pushing him forward again. That should be outlawed too.
Gator, and then they're cocky about it. I'm like, dude, really?
Yeah.
You guys, you're big. You guys are what, 6'4", averaging 6'3", 300 pounds on the line of scrimmage, and you're doing a rugby play to get a touchdown? Or, you know, they get four downs a play, basically.
I feel, and Bobby, thank you. I appreciate the phone call. And I felt like when Blandino said, I'm done with the tush push, this was a breakthrough moment. Dean Blandino is the guy that's supposed to explain to us why what we're seeing isn't what we think it is, and it's how the league wants it. And Blandino just white flagged it. I'm done with it.
Is it because it's Philly?
Is it because it's Philly that Blandino?
No, the people are, I mean, is that have anything to do with why you dislike it so much?
It didn't until I heard their passionate pleas and what they said in front of the league, and then I thought they were so condescending about it, I couldn't believe that it actually swayed people to keep it. I mean, apparently everybody loves Jason Kelce, okay? And that's fine. Yeah, right, you can do that, but Gator gave an eye roll. But apparently they do, and he's really well-respected because it worked. But at the end of the day, it's so boring. It's so boring. And now, as he put it, they're like cocky about it. And I, you know, in Philly, if we did this in Philly radio, if I got called up a Philly radio station, quit your whining. You know, that's not an argument.
Well, right. But if something works, I mean, people are upset because I think by and large, people are upset because it works. Well, and they don't like to see, you know, their team be on the losing end of it. Is it boring? Of course it's boring. So is a quarterback sneak without having somebody stick their hands in your buttocks and push you forward. That's boring as hell too. But you don't outlaw boring plays. So what you do is officiate it properly.
Well, here you go. I also saw videos yesterday. The guards were firing off early, committing false starts regularly, but the refs don't seem to call it. That's from an unnamed texter. Next one. Every single tush push in history has multiple offensive linemen, multiple linemen lined up offsides and has false starts. It's not football. Next text. Being offsides for the defense on the tush push is barely irrelevant. I would line up in the neutral zone every time and try to get away with it. Why would you not? Next text. I don't like the new kickoff rules. It should be back to the 20-yard line or add 50 yards to the field. Tush push sucks. It's not football. Add 50 yards to the field?
What?
I don't like the new kickoff rules. It should be pushed back to the 20-yard line or add 50 yards to the field.
I mean, I guess
the midfield stripe would be the 75-yard line?
Because these kickers have such strong legs, so what he's saying is move them back further to let them use their leg as opposed to
and
just...
And render every stadium in the NFL well, I'm not obsolete?
Say, don't do the 50-yard thing. That's dumb. But the 20-yard, look at the 20-yard thing. Does that make sense to go back to the 20?
The kickoff from the 20?
That way that your kicker's actually using his leg. And you get the same result.
It's so funny. You watch the kickers now, and they look like they're hitting a pitching wedge. Yeah.
They just got to land in the zone.
Yeah. 50 yards of the field. 248-539-9797. Norble, you're on 97 One to Ticket. What's up, Norble?
How you doing?
Hey.
Yeah, so some of the things you said in the text that you just received is what I was going to say about the tush push. Even Tom Brady pointed out in the game that two of the players on the first one were false starting. And then the second one player did it. So I know a lot of controversy over that. So why don't they just do a replay on that, on a twist push every time, if they're going to have all these, you know, offsides on the defense and false starts on the offense? And I just think it's, not fair to have it because the offensive line is false starting all the time.
I have a prediction. My prediction is that this is going to be adjudicated again and that there will be a reaction to this from the National Football League because this happens on it happens every week, right?
Yep.
But you get the national stage and then you have criticism from the people calling the game. And if you've got Tom Brady pointing out, hey, these guys are offside when this is going on, they're going to get flooded with it with social media. You've got Dean Blandino, who's former head of officiating, whatever the hell his title was, and now he's saying he's done with it, he's tired of it, and everybody's explaining why that this is an illegal play, and it still goes on. The NFL's going to do something about this. It might actually be in season. Now, I don't think they're going to outlaw it, not right away. They won't outlaw it. They're going to have to put that to a vote. But what they can do is change how it's officiated. Do it properly.
I would like to see that, yes. I would like to see it, and I have no issue if they do it before the Thursday night game this week.
Sure.
All right. So look, barely touched on our Lions. There was an interesting story in Sports Illustrated discussing them, and I want to get into that a little bit about the week one to week two improvement that they made. We will do so in the noon hour. Also talk some Spartans early. We'll talk some Michigan a little bit later on. Tigers back at home for a series against the Gribe. But Gator, I saw something today. Experts are saying that pumpkin spice is about to get knocked off its fall throne. Prediction. Pumpkin spice might be about to get knocked off its fall throne. Now, where are you before we get into what is going to do it? Where are you with pumpkin spice?
I mean, I love pumpkin spice, but I don't drink pumpkin spice lattes or any of that crap. I like the flavor. Like if you add it to a pie or something like that, or if it's an ice cream flavor, I think that's fine. I love the scent. I've got several pumpkin scented candles in the house.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I'm a big fan of that, but as far as consuming it's concerned, I mean, I'll try it, most of this stuff, but I don't drink the coffee drinks, so.
With that said, we asked the people, what fall forward flavor do you think is poised to unseat the dynasty of fall flavors, pumpkin spice? We need
Oh, it's not a cloud in the sky. What the hell happened?
Hey, what flavor will take the first 10 texts, sign your texts, and we will read the first 10 texts that come in. What fall forward flavor do you think is about to unseat pumpkin spice, according to experts, off the fall flavor throne? 248-539-9797. Send your text, sign your text. Talk some lines at 1205, and we'll tell you what flavor it is coming up next as well here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.